had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. Way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Remember golden days when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. Now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win.
Welcome back, folks, to the second hour here of the Concord Lantern. I am your host, Maggie Rose, and you were just listening to Carl Klang. He's an old friend of mine, now deceased. He gave me that song 30 years ago when I first started doing the Concord Hour and then later the Concord Show. And when I looked him up a few years ago to thank him again, I found out, lo and behold, that he had passed away and made his transition actually here in the Great Northwest and actually in Southern Oregon. So again, that's Carl Klang. That's C-A-R-L-K-L-A-N-G, two words. And back in the 90s, he was one of those that was warning us through his music. You can look him up on the internet, on YouTube, and find out many of the songs. He wrote some of the songs about the Oklahoma Federal Building, about Waco, the 10 Little Children. Many of his songs are very moving. And I would say that basically some of his music was sort of like what I would call, he was the Nostradamus of music, because he was actually in some of his music actually predicting much of what we have going on today. Now we have in the studio with us again, the wonderful Todd Vaughn. He's involved in the lumber industry. He's one of us. He's down and earthy. He and his wife, Patty, have decided to take the bull by the horns and represent we, the people. And we also have Chris Brumbles in the wings as well. He's an Army veteran. He's the Oregon Firearms Federation coordinator for Columbia County for OFF. Todd Vaughn is running for the Oregon State Senate against Mr. Romero and David Brock Smith. Mr. Brock Smith was appointed, basically was crammed down the throats of we the people in Curry County, Coos County, and Douglas County by these nine county commissioners. There was a lot of hokey pokey stuff that was going on when he was appointed, and most of us people were not very happy about it. And we definitely have not been happy about the results since. We've seen a lot of Republicans have been playing along the so-called get along. A lot of Republicans, so-called Republicans, I call them rhinos, have basically been throwing us under the wheels of the bus. And some of them have been promised big money by Democrats if they will go ahead and allow their agendas to be pushed through. And so Todd is running for this position, and he's coming up against this man who has been for a long time getting money from one, especially one very big donor. And what I would like to bring up to you, Todd, in this show, and Chris Brumbles knows about some of this, and then after I kind of bring up my part of the journey that kind of brought me around to realizing that there were some very nefarious things that were going on, and I was comparing notes with Rob Taylor that was with us in the first hour until he had to leave us to go do his program. What had happened is, as you know, Todd, or may not know, I've been an investigative reporter for many years. I started off in high school back in the 70s doing journalism. I was on the school newspaper and the yearbook. And then when I entered the military, I volunteered for Vietnam. I ended up in Korea and started writing for the military Stars and Stripes. I then spent some time writing for the American Free Press out of Washington, D.C. I've been a freelance journalist. I'm a published author. I have a bachelor's degree in history and the Constitution, as well as in English and creative writing. And I'm also not only a published journalist, but I'm a published author as well. And a while ago, not very long ago, as well as writing for some local newspapers, I started discovering there were some things that were going on in the Republican Party that really bothered me. And I had certain individuals, you heard their name mentioned here in the first hour of the show, where there were Republicans telling me that we sometimes have to play along to get along. If we want to get something, we have to give a lot. And I believe that they were giving too much. In fact, what they were doing is basically rolling over and playing dead and letting the so-called Dems have their way with us. So that was the first thing that bothered me. The second thing was, is that I believe if we're going to follow the Oregon State Constitution, you know about this Measure 113 they just passed, right?
Yep.
Okay. So the Measure 113 they passed, for those of us who have listeners both in Oregon and outside Oregon, and I know I have a gal in Australia that's following us. We have Bridget in Ireland. And many people up in Canada saying, you know, if California and Oregon and Washington State go down, the rest of the United States will go down. And if the U.S. goes down, we go down in Canada as well. So for those of you that are listening, Measure 113 was where the Democrats just recently somehow, and I think it was done illegitimately. I don't think it was legal. I know I didn't vote for it. Most Oregonians didn't vote for it. And if those that did, they were probably misled into voting for it. But it basically says that if anybody, Republican or Democrat, steps out and doesn't allow there to be a quorum, and if they miss, what is it, 10 meetings or 10 sessions? 10 unexcused absences, then they cannot run for the next election, okay? And so the Democrats are the ones that pushed this through and passed it under what we call Measure 113, and they made it part of the Oregon State Constitution as a new Constitution amendment. Folks, when we talk about the Constitution of the United States, that is the law of the land. But when we talk about our Oregon State Constitution, that is our sovereign constitution, which basically our sovereign constitution is our law of the land of the state of Oregon. So when I want to step back and kind of share this.
The U.S. Constitution is the supreme law of the land.
Even the
Oregon Constitution can't go against it.
No, but what I'm about to share with you is not going against it. It's totally separate. It's our sovereignty of our state, okay? So in 1993, and this is what Todd's going to be able to relate to, because of people like David Brock Smith and getting $150,000 and counting from Mr. Tuttle from California. In 1993-94, the Oregonians did not like the fact that people like David Brock Smith were getting $150,000 plus from people like from Mr. Tuttle. They were getting money from big corporations outside Oregon. They were getting money from overseas PACs like Solomon Yu and his so-called Republican PAC that he founded in Red Communist China, where he's from. And so the Oregonians passed in 93-94 this Oregon State Amendment called Article 2, Section 22. That was very clear of how much money you as a candidate could receive. And it basically stated you could get any amount of money from somebody within your district, up to a certain amount of money. It didn't matter how much, but there was parameters of which money. But you could not take money from a corporation, that was outside your district. You couldn't take money like from the AFL-CIO in Portland. If, you know, you lived down in Coos County, you couldn't take money from the teachers union. You couldn't take money from Pfizer, which is outside of Oregon. You couldn't take money from Moderna. You can't take money from Red China. Okay, very clear. Well, of course, it got challenged under something called Veneta versus Kiesling. And it was challenged. And it went all the way to the Oregon Supreme Court, which did next to nothing about it. And so then it got fought, and it was sent down to San Francisco, where
Let's tell the truth. The Supreme Court said it was unconstitutional because they claimed that it violated the First Amendment.
No, I was going there. You didn't give me a chance to finish that, okay? So they tried to say it violated the First Amendment, which it did not. So let me finish. So because they said that, it was challenged that it did not violate the First Amendment of free speech, okay? So the people of Oregon, when they passed this, they said this is not violating the First Amendment of free speech. This is trying to keep our elections honest so the rich people don't keep getting in, and the rich people in Salem and Portland and Eugene don't keep controlling the other two-thirds of the state. So when they tried to say it was freedom of speech, it went to San Francisco, to the Ninth Circuit Federal, which has no right deciding on our sovereignty and our state of Oregon and our constitution. That is why the Ninth Circuit kicked it back. And so then it went to court again, and it was fought under what they called a Monmouth versus Monmouth County. And we won, Oregonians won in 2020, that Oregon State Constitution, Article 2, Section 22, amendment to our Oregon Constitution was upheld in 2020, which meant that we never had to do the three recalls on Kate Brown. We could have removed her from office because she had been in violation of that, which included when Kate Brown had her friend Tina Kotek, Christine Drazen, and Betsy Johnson all run for governor. They all violated it because they were taking money from Lamodia. They were taking money from FDX, the guy that was brought back in handcuffs from overseas, where he was extradited back to the U.S. They took money from Pfizer. They took money from AFL-CIO and the teachers' unions. Why would Christine Drazen, the rhino, and why would Betsy Johnson, who couldn't get the Democrat nomination, so she ran as an independent, and why would Tina Kotek all take money from Pfizer? If Pfizer wasn't counting on whichever one would win the governorship, then they would be the ones that they could get them to force the Pfizer shots on our children in public schools. So all three of these women took this money, which means all of them, being it was upheld in 2020 under Monmouth and Monmouth County, it means all three of them, if you look at the Oregon State Constitution, Article 2, Section 22, it says if you violate this amendment of the Oregon Constitution, you cannot run for any office for two times the length of the office that you are seeking when you violated the Oregon Amendment Constitution, which means they can't run for even dog catcher or county commissioner for another 6.5 years. Now, hold that thought, Todd. So if we know now that we have to uphold our Oregon State Constitution, these Democrats are trying to tell us that now we have to uphold Measure 113 and kick out all of our Republicans that walked out to keep them from making quorum, which means Kim Thatcher is gone, Art Robinson is gone, a bunch of other Republicans are gone under this new Measure 113 the Democrats shoved down our throats. So what I'm saying, if what's good for the goose is good for the gander, if you are going to abide and obey this Measure 113, then you also have to abide by Article 2, Section 22. Both of them, you're saying, were passed by Oregonians. What I'm saying is, and this is not alleged, Todd, this is not alleged. I did my research with Rob Taylor. Rob Taylor contacted the clerk in the county, stated that Mr. Tuttle voted in 2018 and 2020 as an independent, where he bought a vacation home. Mr. Tuttle Mr. Tuttle bought a vacation home in Curry County with a couple of his relatives. A vacation home in Gold Beach. He voted there in 2018 and 2020 while he was giving money to David Brock Smith in 2018 and 2020. So then I...
Who is this? Hey, so, I'm on a Zoom call. You'll have to call me back later.
So...
I'm sorry.
So this is not alleged. This is in the public records, Todd. So while Rob Taylor was doing his research in 2018, 2020, Mr. Tuttle registered and was voting as an independent. Now, as you know, the Independent Party in Oregon was founded by the Democrat Party. It was mostly Democrats that founded the Independent Party of Oregon. So while he's voting as an independent in Oregon, in Curry County, where Gold Beach is, where his vacation home is, I made a phone call to Alameda County, California, where I was born and raised originally, where I entered the military originally. And I spoke to a gal down there in Contra Costa County. She gave me the name of the elections clerk. Her name is Mary, and she's in San Francisco, where Mr. Tuttle has been living for the last 50 years, a registered Democrat in San Francisco. He's 82 years old. And I talked to Mary, and she said, oh, yes, Mr. Tuttle, known as Tim, has been voting here as a Democrat for the last 40, 50 years. He owns more than one property, and his primary residence is here in San Francisco. And he's been voting as a Democrat, and he's been donating to the Democrat Party here in Alameda County. In San Francisco. And he voted here as a Democrat in 2018 and in 2020. So while he's voting as a Democrat in San Francisco in 18 and 20, he runs up the freeway and votes in Curry County, Oregon, also as an independent in those two same election years. This is not alleged. This is a matter of public record. Now he's gotten caught with his hand in the cookie jar, because he wants to keep on donating to David Brock Smith. And so supposedly now he's making it look like, allegedly, he's making it look like, allegedly, that he's transferring his residency to Oregon so he can help David Brock Smith in the primary. I have issue with that. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, it's illegal. That's a good issue to have with it. But I also believe that Tuttle, I don't think that he has been contributing recently, according to Orstar. I think that when this stuff began to come out, I think he quit contributing, but I'm not sure about that, but I believe that's true.
Yeah, one thing about that article, well, I'd like you to send me that other case you were talking about, because the only one I've heard about is Vannetta. And I thought it was ridiculous that they say something in the Constitution is unconstitutional. And it's still in the Constitution, by the way, Article 2, Section 22. But when Rob Taylor and I looked into this a few years ago, because we thought about going this route, every single politician, every single one, Republicans and Democrats, took money from foreigners.
That's right.
Just like that, if you can prove this.
I'm trying to tell you. Do you realize the ramifications? As long as Todd doesn't take money from big corporations or from people like Pfizer or Lamodia or FTX, do you realize how many how many Republicans as well as Democrats in Salem are in violation right now?
All of them. And that's why they'll never let this go. They'll never let it go by. They bought and paid for their spots. Unfortunately, this is the most corrupt state in the country, in my opinion. And they do a lot more illegal stuff than that. Look at that. They're taking money from, people who have slave camps and sex camps. And we believe Lamoda is connected to CIIG, which is a... Did I just go again, or am I still here?
You're still here.
Okay. We believe they're connected to the Mexican mobs.
Todd, you have a response?
Well, I would like to proudly say and thank Chris and Kevin also that I did receive $500 from the Oregon Firearms Federation. Thank you, guys.
Good. Oh, you're more than welcome. We need principled guys like you.
I am a Second Amendment guy. I've been shooting and hunting since before I can remember anything. I mean, I come from Ohio and I hunted and shot rifles and shotguns with my father all my life. I still hunt deer and elk and grouse and squirrel and everything. And I'm a Second Amendment guy all the way. But we really know what the Second Amendment was. I've written articles on it. I, too, am a writer. I'm an editorialist. And the Second Amendment is just in case. And we hope, we pray we never get to this point.
Yep.
But it is there for us to protect ourselves and our freedom should our government become tyrannical to the point where we can no longer bear what they're doing to us. And I'm telling you, we need to.
That's why they're going after those guns.
That's exactly right. And everybody needs to remember.
Every day. Sorry, I didn't mean
that's
that.
It. And everybody needs to listen. I just read an article. Americans are buying a million guns a month right now. Million guns a month. And there's a reason for that.
And it's been for something like 86 or 88 months straight. So
yes,
the American people know that something's happening. But hey, I want to throw this in since we're talking about guns. Have you ever heard of Vista Outdoors? Vista Outdoors owns Federal, Speer, Remington, CCI, and Heavy Shot. And they're an outdoor company. You know, they also sell tennis balls and baseballs, all that stuff. So they decided that they were going to sell the ammo side. And so they got offered $1.91 billion to a Czechoslovakian from a Czechoslovakian company. Well, Colt CZ stepped in, and they offered them billion. Did I say million? I meant billion. Billion for the whole company. Well, they said, no, we don't want to do that. So Vista was in the process of selling to CSG, this Czechoslovakian company, which would make us have a pretty big ammo shortage here. It would cause trouble to police and military. And so, you know, they have to do a, what do they call that thing? They call it a committee on foreign investment on something like this because it could affect our national security. It's a national security thing. So while they're waiting, MNC Capital Partners steps in right now, not like a couple days ago, and has offered them to buy the whole company for $2.9 billion or $35 a share. Now, this is a Dallas-based American-owned company. The CEO is Mark Godferson, who used to be on the board of Vista. Well, Vista turned them down, so they upped the offer to $3 billion even, which was $37.50 a share, and that's pretty good. I guess that's a pretty good deal for Vista. And they wouldn't have any committee on foreign investment because it stays American-owned, no national security issue on the ammo, primers, and propellants, stuff like that. So let's pray that they take this offer and we keep all of our ammunition in America.
Exactly.
But while we're on, and one more thing to anybody from Oregon listening, we have an update on 114. 114, of course, went through the state courts, and it was said to be unconstitutional in its entirety on its face. And so the state steps in. They decide they're going to appeal it. Well, they just went to the appeals court and asked them if they can go ahead and implement it until they go to court. I mean, it's already been unconstitutional. They don't care about their oath of office. They don't care about the Constitution. And, you know, I can't believe it, but the appeals court told them to go pound sand. So we're still protected. 114 is still not enforced for a while. So go buy your guns, man, before this thing passes, because I'm pretty sure the appeals court's going to pass it. There's 12 Democrats and one pretend Republican on the appeals court, and they were all appointed by past Democrat governors, most of them, 12 of them by Kate Brown. So I believe it was 12. I could be wrong about that. But, yeah, so we're fighting hard in Oregon.
Chris, you think this law is going to actually go into effect? Is that what you're saying, 114?
I think that the appeals – I've dealt with the appeals court because I passed two laws in my county. I did the SAPO and the SASO. Did the SASO in record time, a month and a half. And I was the first one to pass it in the state. And we were the first, you know, Rob Taylor and I worked on the SAPO and SASO together. And we were the first ones to pass it in the nation. And I was the first one to pass it in the state. So I was the first one that they went after. And it, I mean, it was all over the country. These SASO, the Second Amendment sanctuary ordinances are in something like 2/3 of all counties in the nation. But they went after Columbia County, Oregon. We won in court. And then we went, you know, our county commissioners did something illegal, had illegal meetings and decided to go ahead and take it to appeals court. I didn't know they were illegal or I would have nailed them on it, but I found out after the statute of limitations. And we went to the appeals court and the chief judge wrote the decision and called us racist and, you know, anti-Semites and quoted 1984. And nothing about the law, just that it was unconstitutional because he said so. And so we haven't had a good track record with the appeals court. And I did complain on that judge, but of course nothing happened. I filed a complaint. But I think that the appeals court is an automatic yes for the Democrats. And I'm hoping I'm wrong. This was one time I'd love to be wrong. So I think that it'll have to go further than the appeals court. That's just my opinion.
I agree.
Yeah. But, I mean, they just did something weird. Obviously, they're anti-gun. I have the opinion. I should send it to you guys if I can find it and let you read. It's just disgusting if you read it. I mean, they're totally biased against gun owners. And they're automatically anything gun related. I mean, one of those. he may even, I don't know if he's on the appeals court or not, but yeah, the appeals court is not our friend.
No,
but
not at all. So Todd, when you get up to Salem, how are you as a junior senator going to be able to deal with some of the Republicans up there that are the rhinos?
Well, I've actually had a few conversations with some of our truly good conservative senators. And
who's that?
And I've told them most of them got taken out with the walkout.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, we're gonna have something left to work with. Maybe not as much as we'd like. Maybe not as much as we'd like. But of course, I'm going to immediately connect with those guys, and I'm going to ask anybody that is experienced, which some of them are. You know, some of them will have people. They will be helping people that are their surrogates. There's a number of things happening in regard to all that. But I will immediately connect to those guys and become part of a voting block with them and work directly with them. You probably can figure out who I'll be working with. So if I make it up there, I will be joining with people that will be voting the right way, and they will be helping me to learn the ropes.
Just can I give you just – I don't like to give advice, but I'd like to give one piece of advice. Whenever any politician tells you anything, ask yourself before you answer them, what's in it for them? Because 99% of them that's all they do is lie. But that's an important thing to remember. What's in it for them?
Thank you.
Because you got people like David Brock Smith, David Brock Smith, who's all in it for himself. He only cares about the day he's elected and the day he's reelected. And
that's right.
I think he showed his true colors when twice he wouldn't walk out with the rest of the senators.
Exactly.
He's a scumbag. He's a fat-headed, self-aggrandizing. I mean, this guy has to tell you that he's a conservative every time he speaks. That ought to tell you something right there.
We're going to be right back, folks. This is Maggie Rose with Todd Bond, running for Oregon State Senator, and Chris Brumbles, coordinator for Oregon Firearms Federation. We will be right back here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Don't go away.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Camptown lady, sing this song, doo-dah, doo-dah. Camptown racetrack, 5 miles long, all the doo-dah day.
Run, run all night, go on, run all day. Baby, find money on a bobtail bag, come money bet on the bay.
Wide, wide world of sports is going on here. I had you people try to get a little track lead, not to jump around like a bunch of Kansas City faggots.
I don't know what that was all about. Oh, wow.
My God. Hello. Hey, I gotta go. I'm on a Zoom call.
Folks, this is Maggie Rose, and you are listening to the Conquer Lantern here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I am on here with Todd Vaughn, running for Oregon State Senate, and also with Chris Brumbles, who is the coordinator of the Columbia County Oregon Firearms Federation. I just left Kansas City last week. I was actually passing from Oregon down to California and across the country. And I went through the southern states. We broke down in New Mexico outside Albuquerque. And we ended up going through Kansas City, stopped off with Lisa Michaels. She herself had at one time been living in Beaverton. She ran for U.S. Congress. She was a TV and a radio talk show host, a podcaster. And she was warning us here in Oregon about our elections and how they were being stolen. And she made quite a few videos and podcasts about the lack of election integrity. And finally, when nobody in Oregon was listening to her in 2012, and I am saying that's right, you heard me correct. In 2012, she just packed up her son and she up and left, and she moved to Kansas City. And I actually attended an election integrity conference back there, put on by the Lions with my husband a little over a year ago. And while we were passing my friend and I through Kansas City last week, we were able to stop by Lisa Michaels, her place there. And they're having many of the same challenges with elections as we're having here in Oregon. So Todd has been very deeply involved in Oregon and in Douglas County regarding election integrity. Todd, have you noticed that some of the problems that we're having in Oregon, especially in Douglas County, has been because the elections clerk, who was originally appointed by the county commissioners, Tim Freeman, Chris Boyce, that it's kind of like you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And we were discovering many of the people in the Republican Party that, in fact, one of them, the lady who's running against Dan Loomis right now, Samantha Frost, she's an Air Force veteran, two tours overseas in the sandbox. She was called in to be an observer. And she noticed in her first 30 minutes there that when there were people's ballots that were coming back, people who had died or had left the county or left the state, that he was pulling the ballots out of the envelopes, throwing the envelopes away, and pinning the ballots up above his desk. And then she discovered that when it looked like the county commissioners were not winning, those ballots were being taken down and allegedly being filled out. And about 30 minutes into her shift, she was told that his secretaries were all going to be sent to lunch, and she had to be sent to lunch, and she would not be able to finish her four-hour shift. And she goes, wait a minute, I've only been here 30 minutes. If I'm going to go to lunch with your secretaries as an observer, then you and your two men need to go to lunch too. You can't be left alone in here with all these ballots and not being observed, even though you're the elections clerk. And he had her thrown out, and he called the sheriff. What do you say about that, Todd?
Well, that sounds very suspicious. I will say that Dan Loomis was running to be a county commissioner against Chris. Okay,
Chris, and against Chris Boyce.
No, he was running against Tom Kress.
Oh, Tom.
And basically, okay. Yes, and basically, he made a deal, I believe, with Tim Freeman, but Boyce might have been in on it. But Freeman is pretty much the boss of this operation, okay? So he made a deal that he would drop out of that race so that Tom Kress could move into the commissioner's seat, but then he would be given, through appointment, the clerk's position.
Wow.
And this is exactly how he got in. That is on record.
And what happened to the lady that was supposed to step up into the county
clerk's
position?
What happened to ethics?
Yeah.
What happened to ethics? What happened to character? What happened to morals? They don't have any anymore. And these are Republicans, right?
Right.
I'm not sure if Dan Loomis was a Republican at the time. I don't think he was. I'm not sure. But yeah, no, I'm telling you, the appointment process is one of their major tools for putting people where they want them.
I've had Mike Nierman about this, and we think that we need to get rid of the appointment process. Well, you know, as you know, the governor appoints all the judges and several other positions. She has way too much power. We need to have an emergency. Well, what they do is they it's all about money. Who's going to bring me the most money? And then they'll go ahead and appoint you.
Exactly.
But we need to put it back in the people's hands and have special elections. I don't care if it costs a little bit of money.
Well, that not only that, but Absolutely. One of the things that bothered me is not only that I understand that Dan Loomis, that he and his wife, both of them are also retired military like I am, but both of them were actually Democrats. And I walked up to him the other night And I said, well, I understand at one point in time you were a Democrat. And he got really upset. And he's like, oh, well, I'm not a Democrat. I said, really? He says, no, a county clerk has to be neutral. I said, but you were a registered Democrat before you showed up in this position. And he got really, really shaken. And so the thing is, I know darn well that when we had the last two elections, he told us that Kate Brown and then later the others told him in the Democrat Party that he could continue to take ballots 30 days after the election and he could take ballots with no postmark on them. That really bothered me.
Guess what? We found out ballots do not get postmarked. So it already violates the law. So the Secretary of State just told the county clerks to go ahead and use your best judgment if you thought it was mailed on time. And by the way, take 2 weeks instead of one. That was the one that Kotek got elected. Kotek,
yeah.
But so, hey, I want to tell you this story before we run out of time, if I may. This is about election. So we have a great election integrity group here. They go every Wednesday to the county commissioners meeting, and they ask to, you know, they want them to, they're trying to get back to the polls. They want to get rid of this mail-in voting. They want to show ID. They want to do it the right way because that's the only way to do it. That's why, you know, that's why almost all of Europe got rid of mail-in ballots in the 70s because it was rife with fraud. But old Biden is already cheating on the upcoming election because that's what the left does. If they can't, you know, they can't lie their way to victory, they cheat. And I know this from personal experience. So he passed Executive Order 14019, which says the head of each agency shall evaluate ways in which the agency can appropriate by the consistent with applicable laws, promote voter registration and voter participation. So he's using the vast resources of the federal government. There is no limit. And of course, they don't have any resources. That money was stolen from us. So he's using the aid of the biggest illegal agencies under his control to expand mail-in ballots and register new voters, which ain't his job. So he has the U.S. Marshals were forced to modify more than 900 contracts with jails and prisons to provide voter registration documents and facilitate mail-in voters voting from inmates. And so the Department of Education, Department of Agriculture, Department of HHS, Department of Housing and Urban Development all are carrying out campaigns to help steal the next election. Oh. And on February 26th, Crazy Kamala announced a federal plan to use work-study grants to pay students to register people to vote. Now, the ACLU calls Biden's EO visionary. I call it tyranny. Mississippi Secretary of State Mark Watson wrote to Merrick Garland of his concerns that agencies under his authority are attempting to register people to vote, and this is in quotes, vote, including potentially ineligible felons, to co-opt local and state officials into accomplishing this goal, end quote. Now, I wonder if they're registering illegals, too. I wonder, now you know why the border is wide open, right? The left wants to win no matter what the cost and no matter who it hurts. Just imagine if Trump did this. Can you imagine?
Oh, my gosh.
So what do y'all think about that? I mean, we're working hard to make sure we have a fair election. This clown's using the resources of the federal government to make sure we don't.
Exactly. Go ahead, Todd.
Yep. Yeah, I've been hearing all the same stuff. Mm-hmm. And of course, the only thing standing between an illegal alien and voting is whether or not they want to get a driver's license. So once they go and get a driver's license, they're probably going to be registered to vote. And the other thing is welfare. I was told recently that when they go to apply for welfare, they're automatically registered to vote too. So you know all of them are going to get welfare, and you know probably most of them are going to want to be driving around. A lot of these people are going to end up becoming registered to vote in this upcoming election.
Exactly. Now, before the end of the show, Todd, what I would like you to do, please, is be able to give your website where people can donate to your campaign for Oregon State Senate and any phone number that people, if they need to call.
Yeah, my website is just toddvaughn.com. You can do the www's if you want front, but if you just go toddvaughn.com, you will find me. There's a button there, of course, to donate. And people can call me at my home phone number. I'll actually take a call right here. So that's 541-825-3531. I'll talk to anybody and answer any questions that people have.
Okay, and then for you, Chris, would you please give out your information for the Oregon Firearms Federation and anybody who wants to support the continuing efforts regarding either Measure 114 or the Second Amendment going forward to the appeals court?
Yeah, it's pretty easy. Just go to OregonFirearms.org, and you can find all the phone numbers there. You can find all the websites, where to donate, all that. OregonFirearms.org. It's pretty simple.
Well, before I go and into the last
I wanted to ask Vaughn, Todd, are you a logger, or did you work in mills? What did you have to do with logging?
I came to Oregon in 1983, and I came up to Tiller, Oregon, where my wife and I live. I've been married for 37 years, and I became a tree planter. I was actually working in the oil field in Wyoming before I came to Oregon, and they stacked the rigs in 83 when OPEC lowered their price. So I came up to Tiller. I planted trees for a number of years, and then I started logging. And once I started logging, I began to wildland firefight with dozers. And, you know, loggers fought fires back then. We still do. It's just that the industrial fire industry has become huge. It's been federalized. It's all different. We burn more forest than we put fires out nowadays. But the fact of the matter is, I am currently a logger, a timber cutter, and a wildland firefighter.
Well, you know, I started logging when I was 9 years old. My stepdad owned Henson Logging. I don't know if you ever heard of that, but they've all passed away now. But yeah, they Gippo logged for GP when it used to be a thing down there. Georgia Pacific's long gone, and I logged for Weyerhaeuser and George Domenichini and several other companies back in the day. And I loved it. I thought I was never going to stop, but they just wouldn't stop going, you know, chaining themselves across our roads trying to stop us from working because of that stupid owl. So I went and learned what's that?
Hey, remember when everybody, all us loggers, were carrying around cans of tuna with it says spotted owl on it? We all thought it was a great big joke, right?
Yeah.
And now they're putting tags on. Now they're putting tags on everybody's cows and telling us we're going to be eating bugs. Guess what?
No.
We thought it was a joke with the spotted owl. It was no joke.
No.
I tell people. I said we were running up and down on logs. We were walking on wood, and the next thing I knew, we were carrying cans that said spotted owl, laughing about it. And the next thing I knew, we were crawling through brush, and the real days of logging were over.
Yeah. And now, they, after all the damage they've done, they just now passed a law getting rid of, I think it's 57% of the logging that's left for 70 years. So they're just trying to, they want us all to work for McDonald's, I reckon.
Yeah, I guess that's what they want.
They don't want us to harvest any natural resources.
No.
That's right. No. That's exactly. Well, one of the things I wanted to bring up, Todd, because I didn't know if you're going to have an opportunity to do it. When we were at the last PCP meeting, as you know, I'm with the Republican Party again. I registered to be on the ballot in May as a PCP. I'm going to be on the ballot. I filled out my SL form probably, you know, months ago before anybody else did. And then when we showed up at the PCP meeting, I was told, come and you can actually be nominated and get in early. And so March Cunningham, she voted for three of her people, nominated them. Valen Curry, who used to be the chair of the Republican Party, nominated me. Michaela seconded me. We were all four of us told to stand. Then Donna Torres, with the support of Larry Reeves and Cherie Brady, the secretary, nominated 19 of their people, including Chris Boyce, who's one of the county commissioners, and a bunch of his family members. Those 19 people stood up. And Dan Loomis ignored Marge Cunningham's three people and myself, took their 19 names, left the building, the annex, that night while we were having the meeting, ran next door, came back and said, oh, yes, all of them have filled out their SL forms. And I said, wait a minute, I did too. And he goes, oh, I don't, it's up to them whether or not they want to even accept your name as a nomination. And then everybody said, well, wait a minute, she's going to be on the ballot. So are these 19 people. So why are you not bringing her in also? And then, as you know, then they tried to push some new bylaws on the PCPs that were there that evening. Bylaws that nobody had read, nobody knew anything about, but those bylaws would have automatically removed you and Samantha Frost. You, as the chairman of the bylaws committee, didn't even know about these new bylaws that they were trying to push. These bylaws that they were trying to push would have removed you and Samantha Frost. And when they said, we're going to table it, you know, Kathy Lynn and everybody said, let's table it. Everybody went home. I went back in the building. You know what was going on? Larry Reeves and Cherie Brady and Donna Torres had their 19 people up there at the front, not Marge Cunningham's three people or me, but had their 19 people secretly, after everybody was in their cars going home, up at the front filling out paperwork. Now, what was that about, Todd?
Well, they were getting their numbers together so that they could remove all of us from the board in this upcoming meeting. They knew how many people they needed to have the 2/3 required to recall us.
So they were stacking,
and they were counting their numbers. And yeah, look, these guys have become just like what the Democrats do, what they're doing to Trump. They're actually doing this in our face. It's a way of beating us down. It's actually a way of beating the America First movement down. This is happening in a lot of different places across the country. Some places the America First movement is winning, and some places it's losing. And in Douglas County, for right now, not forever, but for right now, we're getting beat down. And it's kind of like, hey, in your face, you can't stop us. You can't stop us from throwing you out. We'll do whatever we want. We can do it our way. We'll do it when and how we want. There's nothing you can do. It's an assault on our psyche, basically. That's what they do.
Are they supporting this?
Is what?
The people at Journey Church. The people that go to Journey Church there on Diamond Lake, are they supporting what's going on?
I don't know. I would assume that probably, I think you could probably assume that some of them are and some of them aren't.
Okay, and the same with the Umpqua Valley Republican women. Some of them are supporting what's going on and some are not, right?
I don't know. I do not. I've never attended one of their meetings because Margaret Shaw is one of the petitioners, and she's the president of that group. I would assume that probably most of the Umpqua Valley Republican women are probably supporting this recall.
Yeah, and they're all behind the county commissioners, no matter what they do, no matter how wrong they are, no matter how unethical they are. It looks like they're all enamored. It's like a bunch of female groupies that are in love with the musicians. They follow David Brock Smith everywhere he goes with stars in their eyes, and that's what bothers me. It bothers me when people are mesmerized by a fox in sheep's clothing. That's what bothers me.
Yeah, I don't understand it. Go ahead, Chris.
Oh, I just said maybe they're hungry.
Maybe they are.
If you follow David Brock Smith around, food can't be far away.
Now, Todd, Todd, yeah, he can sure lose a few pounds, right? He's allegedly loves to eat, and allegedly he's still getting money from his big donors that are, according to Mr. Taylor, are billionaires with a lot of property. I mean, they're American white Caucasian men who are billionaires with all their businesses in Beijing. So, you know, you stroke my back, I'll stroke yours. That bothers me that they're in bed with the Red Communist Party. There comes a point where we're doing certain business with Red China, but that's going overboard. Is there not going to be a rally on April the 18th? On the steps of the courthouse in Douglas County, Todd?
I believe that it's going to be in the extension office is right beside the courthouse. That's where our recall meeting is going to be held on the 18th. And yes, there is going to be a rally. It's going to be a fairly large group of people from all over the state will be coming down and basically protesting this type of cronyism that we're seeing here in Douglas County. And so it should be very interesting. Everybody invite people to come to it. It's I'm not sure exactly what time it's going to be. I think it's going to be like maybe 1 or 2 in the afternoon. It's going to start, and there's going to be all kinds of stuff going on. People are going to be packing around signs and lifting up their voices and protesting the kind of dirty politics that we're seeing in Douglas County.
Well, I've got it right here. It says Unity Rally, and Ben Edel, EDTL, is going to be there with you, Todd. Paul Cantrell, I don't know who he is. He's going to be there. And it says calling all patriots to Roseburg, April 18, 2024. Assemble at the Douglas County Courthouse. Roseburg is ground zero in the fight to stop the foreign invasion of our land, our economy, and our politics. Take the day off, bring your family, protect our republic. It begins at 1 p.m. The prayer warriors will begin at 4:30. Speakers will be at 5 p.m. Face painting, food carts, and freedom march. And you can go to rucpac.org/rally. Thank you, Todd. Let's have you back next Monday.
All right. Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd Bond for Oregon State Senate. Thank you, Chris Brumbles.
Thank you. And we'll talk to you later. Thanks for having me on.
People say we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. Madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Remember golden days when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. Now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon a glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame.
We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. This country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. Cause it's right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Thank you. This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.